Welcome. Oh, sorry. You know, I always get a little too excited. I felt like playing it again, I guess. But anyways, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Shredder Tea Tuesday. It is your girl, V, and I have this phenomenal young lady that I met at the Kids Fest. And we don't have to go where I met her and all that. But her name is Miss Renee Porter. And she is a scholarship navigator with Lindsay Nicole Henry Scholarship. And so when I just met her for those few little minutes and she was telling me about the scholarship, I was blown away because I did not know that there were scholarships available, especially if you have children that are in foster care or have been adopted. So to me, this is like, whoa. So I did ask her, like, hey, can you do a podcast with me? You know, and of course she said yes. So, Miss Renee, I appreciate you joining on with Share the Tea. And how are you today?
Oh my goodness, I'm well. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, good. Yes, welcome. Welcome to the world of podcasts. So tell me a little bit about, I guess I should start off with Lindsay Nicole Henry. Yeah. Who is that person?
Yeah, so this is really, thanks for asking, because it's really a remarkable story. And, you know, I share her name every single day as I'm talking to parents and guardians. And it's something not many people ask me, like, who in the world is this and where does it come from? Oh, wow. So I usually call it the Henry Scholarship, just kind of for short. But the Lindsay Nicole Henry Scholarship is state law in Oklahoma. So when you said, like, this is something people need to, like, if you're going to listen, listen closely and listen carefully to this one, because this is important information for parents and guardians across Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. But the Henry Scholarship passed and became state law in 2010. And kind of an interesting story in terms of its life and it becoming law in Oklahoma. The legislator who was championing this bill to help underserved and vulnerable Oklahoma kids who were special needs, okay, looked to our then current governor, Brad Henry, and asked him to ask and have a conversation with his wife to see if they would be open to naming this particular piece of legislation after their daughter. They had a daughter that, as I understand, was born with special needs, and she passed away at a very young age, I think in infancy. And so the legislator who sponsored this, knowing, you know, what this bill does and who it helps, had asked if they would be open to honoring her memory in this way by naming this piece of legislation after her. So Governor Henry and his wife, Kim, their daughter is Lindsay Nicole Henry. So this particular bill was named in her honor.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm learning something already. I did not know that. Well, and so this started in 2010.
Yes. Passed into state law in 2010. And as I said, this particular law was passed to help students with special needs and disabilities, mm-hmm, who have an IEP. So those special needs and disabilities are going to be defined on a very specific IEP, and those are written by a public school. So that's what helps to articulate what those special needs are that that student has. And then the other requirement and qualifier for a student to qualify under Henry under this first and original eligibility area is that the student also needs to have attended public school the year prior to applying for the Henry Scholarship. So ultimately, though, what it does and what it originally did and what it continues to do for families is if a student is approved, then if they qualify, they're approved by the State Department of Education to be a Henry Scholar and they were approved to receive this. What it does is it gives that parent an education voucher to attend an approved private school of that parent or guardian's choice. So an amazing opportunity to have a student who it needs a different educational experience, mm-hmm, and a different educational opportunity to find a school, a private school in this case, that can best serve that student's needs.
Okay. So Let's back up a couple steps.
Sure thing.
Now, when are the scholarship applications due? Because I know school is starting this week.
It is, yeah.
So is there a deadline that we're looking at that maybe they can look for it for the next year? Or what
Yeah,
are we talking about here?
it's interesting. So you'll hear me throughout the course of our conversation refer to state law says, because again, I really want to remind people, this is state law in Oklahoma.
Okay.
So state law ultimately articulates that for every academic year, that the deadline is December 1st. So for this, let's use this year, this academic year that's getting ready to like it's either kicked off or it's going to kick off for students and their parents. So the
Right.
2022-2023 academic year, the ultimate deadline for applying for the Henry Scholarship for this year is going to be December 1st, 2022. And then it's the same every year. Now, my conversations and when I work with and support parents or guardians who call to ask me questions about the Henry Scholarship and that I can help them to learn more about it, see if their child qualifies, and then help them to make an application. My encouragement, if the family is able, is to apply like right now. And particularly over the summer, because an important piece is that if when a child is approved and they're approved, for example, over the summer, and before school start, they're going to realize the fully funded scholarship award amount. If not, also by state law, the State Department of Education is required by law to prorate that scholarship. So part of it then will, you know, they'll begin to, the parent wouldn't begin or the child wouldn't be able to benefit from the fully funded scholarship award amount. So some of that would come off. So
Okay.
summer is super ideal. You know, anytime, like right now. So I've worked with a lot of families, particularly over the summer. We try to make a big push on our social media as well to really encourage parents to apply or to renew as well, which is an important piece to keep the scholarship in place.
Okay. So it's important to apply during the summertime.
It
Don't
is.
wait until middle of December. It's best to apply early. Now, typically, how many scholarships are usually awarded? Is it only so many, or do people have to get on a waiting list, or?
Nope, great question. And this is one of the things that's really remarkable about this state law is that the Henry Scholarship is open to any student who qualifies in the state of Oklahoma. And I mentioned that it was originally passed around one eligibility area. It has, over the course of the last 12 years, been expanded. So there
Oh.
are today seven eligibility areas. And you mentioned some of them in the introduction, which is our foster care children and kids who are in out-of-home placements with foster care. And I can run through that whole list, but if a family is doesn't apply during the summer, I want to make the point though that it is ideal just in terms of realizing the fully funded scholarship amount to make that application over the summer. But families, parents, or guardians have the opportunity all the way from that beginning first day of school all the way until December 1st to apply for this scholarship and to continue to benefit from it. So
Okay.
there's a real opportunity to continue even though school has started. It will get prorated as well. And of course, thinking just of what's in the best interest of our kids and perhaps making a move from wherever they're currently going to school to a private school. Those are all things that, you know, a parent can do, and that's their job as a parent to figure out what's in their best interest of their child and if
Right.
that's going to be it.
Right, definitely. Now, I do want to say real quick for my Instagram followers, if you are following on this live, you'll have to catch the rest on YouTube or either Facebook. So I do appreciate you tuning in there. But I do want to say you mentioned that it has expanded. So at first it was only covering special needs children. Is that what you were saying? And
Correct.
then did
Yes.
over the years did the I mean, did it just keep going and expanding, or how did that actually work, or to where it grew
Yeah, I
into
guess
like seven areas?
for sure. I guess I would describe, and again, this is the work of our state legislature who has passed this bill, both the House and the Senate, and then again, originally signed by Governor Henry to make this possible. And so the original eligibility area was for special needs students who had an IEP and attended a public school. Some of those, over the course of time then, there was a very, you know, a keen interest in helping other vulnerable children across Oklahoma and different populations that also helped to need support and additional lean in. And so some of those other categories, and I'll run through all seven. So again, students with special needs and disabilities defined on an IEP. Mm-hmm. Every child who has been adopted through our state foster care system is eligible.
Every child?
Every child adopted out of DHS custody is eligible to apply for and receive the Henry Scholarship. Every child who was in an out-of-home placement, who was or is in an out-of-home placement with DHS through DHS custody, is also eligible. Recognizing the strong military presence that our state has, there are two categories that relate to servicemen or women who are moved here from either out of state or out of country, who have relocated through a change of station order to Oklahoma. They are also eligible as long as their student also has an IEP that they're coming with. And then let's see, students who've been served by Sooner Start, and Sooner Start is different than Sooner Care, our insurance program. But Sooner Start is a program, it is for students with special needs or disabilities, but these are our very youngest Oklahomans that those particular needs have been identified. So birth to 36 months is where Sooner Start intervenes to help to give kids the immediate attention that they need to help to address a disability and begin to offer some interventions. So Sooner Start. And then the last one is any child who is in an out-of-home placement through the Office of Juvenile Affairs. So hopefully I didn't miss any, but those are all seven of those eligibility areas that, again, over the course of those 12 years that our legislators have leaned in and approved and made possible for those different communities of students who need an opportunity, who need something different, the possibility to have that and the opportunity to have something different educationally.
Okay.
A lot.
That's a lot of information, and I also love the component that if someone moved here, because we do have we have quite a few military bases here, and so you have families that move or relocate, and being able to provide that service to them is a really, really big important. Now, one thing that you've said a couple times, just in case someone is not familiar with an IEP. Especially if they're a new mom and their child is young, like you said earlier about Sooner Start. So with an IEP, explain that a little bit on how do they get an IEP and what all does that mean?
Yeah. So an IEP is an individualized education plan, and every IEP that is written is unique to the child for whom it is written. So this is, they're written by public schools only. So that's a key component. So IEPs are very specific that if there is, it could be a parent identifies something that they want to have evaluated in a child, a teacher, of course, that they're within that learning environment, and as a professional, they're seeing some things that look like they may prohibit that child from having the opportunity to learn in the way that they should be learning, and they will write an IEP. The IEPs are based on federal law. So there was a federal law passed in the early 70s that defined basically and put all of the parameters around how we help and how we support students who have special needs and disabilities. And they outlined that these IEPs, or individualized education plans, are put in place for a student, written specifically for them. And they are a very specific way that a school partners with parent or guardian and others to support that student's specific learning needs, to see what that child needs to be successful. And so again, every IEP is different and unique. The federal law actually outlines, some will say there's 13 categories of disabilities that an IEP can be, that things can be identified on an IEP that a child may have in terms of as a recognized disability or special need. Some will say 13, some will say 14. I know it goes back and forth. We have those listed on our LNHHelp.org website, that they're defined on there. But a parent can request and make a formal request in writing to a school, to their child's school, to have an IEP evaluation take place. And then there's a very specific timeline as well, that that clock starts ticking, and it's 45 school days that the school then would have to evaluate that child, to prepare that report, to sit down with that family and see what that IEP may or may not look like for a child. See if they're, if the school did identify that there are special needs or disabilities for that child.
So, for that child, okay.
Yeah, lots of very clear timelines and milestones and things that need to happen around this federal law. I actually partner with and work with another nonprofit organization called Every Kid Counts Oklahoma, and work with Miss Lucia Froling over there. And I refer a lot of the families, because the IEP is required in mm-hmm. four of the seven eligibility areas. And so if there's a parent who has a question usually around an IEP, I will refer and connect them with Lucia, because she actually is a master certified, she's a master certified IEP coach or support person. Okay. And so she is a tremendous as well free resource for parents, and she will work with them to understand the process, to work through the process, and support them every step of the way. Okay. So she's an amazing resource that I partner with a lot with the families that I work with.
Well, that's good. That's a great resource to have. I believe that she was sitting next to you.
She at was. The booth,
right?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. When we met at Kids Fest, they were right next door to where we were. Because of that, we work so closely together and support families across the entire state of Oklahoma with the work that we do to make families, help to make families aware of what's available to them educationally. And so, yeah, we were right next door to each other at Kids Fest.
Okay. That's, now, with the IEP follows them throughout the school year, but it's always updated annually each school year?
An IEP is written for 3 years.
Oh, for 3 years.
But it's required by law that that whole IEP meeting, meaning teacher, parent, school counselor, they meet annually. So they're going to review that and take a look at, you know, where the student is and progress and those kinds of things, and see if there are adjustments that need to be made. So they will meet annually, but they're put in place for 3 years.
Okay. Okay. Good. Now, the funding for this scholarship, is this funded through legislation, or
it's going to be through the State Department of Education, and okay. it is part of their state aid formula that the funding comes from. So, yeah.
Great. Okay.
So, real quick, because you asked me a question, and I want to make sure that I answered it very clearly. Clearly, you had asked whether or not there's like a cap on the number of students, and there is not. So this is available and open to students across the state of Oklahoma. If they meet those eligibility requirements, that they have the opportunity to apply and benefit from the Henry Scholarship. So it doesn't okay. have you know, the first, you know, 500 students or 1,000 students in any way. This is, you know, state law. It's here to benefit Oklahoma kids, to give them an opportunity that they otherwise wouldn't have, that they should.
Okay. I like that. And there was another question that came to mind. Since there are seven, do you have to meet all seven, or three out of seven, or at least one out of seven? How is that part determined?
It's one. Yeah. Okay. So a child qualifies. State law doesn't say, it's funny, I get this question sometimes. I think a family that I've worked with, their child, I think the most I've ever had would qualify under three of those seven eligibility areas. A child only needs to qualify under one State law doesn't articulate as well if a child does qualify under multiple that their scholarship calculation is greater than a child who only qualifies under one. So again, a child just qualifies under one area. Real important point that I want to mention, since we're talking about once a student receives the Henry Scholarship, I'm mm-hmm. frequently asked, like, do we also have to reestablish eligibility every year, you know, like hereafter? Because that IEP eventually from the public school is going to go away if a child moves to a private school, because again, private schools don't write IEPs, public schools do. So once a child is approved for the Henry Scholarship, they are a Henry, I always call them Henry Scholars. So they are a Henry Scholar. From that point forward, the scholarship can stay in place and remain in effect through an annual renewal. So parents going to make an application to initially receive the scholarship for their child. One of those buttons or one of the checkboxes that they can select is going to say renewal. So once a child has it, that next year, again, ideally over the summer, so we get the fully funded scholarship award amount, they're going to go through and make a renewal. And as long as a parent or guardian renews the scholarship, it will stay in a place and be effective until one of three things state law says. It's either going to stay in effect through an annual renewal until the child graduates from high school, turns 22 years of age, or parent or guardian says, you know what, I really want my child to return back to the public school. And in that case, that would discontinue eligibility for the Henry Scholarship and they would forfeit it at that point. But otherwise, a remarkable opportunity for year after year after year for a child to benefit from the Henry Scholarship and to offer them the opportunity to attend an approved private school.
Okay. Now, that was another question I was going to bring up. Now, you said attend an approved private school, so it can't just be any private school. There's a certain list that you go by.
There is. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want me to plow in? I'm already ready to plow in.
Yes, go ahead.
For sure. Yeah, so approved private school is a very specific term, also in state law. And schools are approved, they're vetted and approved by our state board of education. So a private school, similar to a parent, sends all of their paperwork to the State Department of Education. They will vet that school's application for completeness. It will go and be reviewed by the State Board of Education, and they will vote whether or not to approve a school to serve Henry Scholars. And today, across the state of Oklahoma, there are 82 private schools that are approved to serve Henry Scholars. So the list is a healthy one, and lots of schools. I would say, I think about 20 of them at my last recollection were in Oklahoma City. In other words, they have, I'm going to articulate it this way. They have an Oklahoma City mailing address. And then another 20 or so have a Tulsa proper mailing address. But as you can imagine, with our big urban cores, those two cities, there's a lot around it. So you think more, I'm going to go down to Norman, Del City, Edmond, those areas that surround it as well are not what I'm including within that 20. So there's going to be a healthy amount as well that surround our big urban areas. And the same in Tulsa, Owosso, you know, Jinx, schools around there as well. And then there's honestly, I was surprised, a good number of private schools that are across how we normally describe the rest of Oklahoma, which is rural. So I don't know if Enid or Ponca City would very much like to be called rural, but they're definitely outside of our urban core. And there are four schools that are approved, for example, in Enid. There's one in Miami, Oklahoma. The last school that was approved is in Muskogee. Schools down in Ada. So lots of dots all over the state of Oklahoma. Corn Bible Academy is approved on the approved list. So lots of opportunities across the state. So it is not, I don't want to for whomever is out there and catches this as well, like your opportunities exist as well, even if you're, a lot of times I think people, are, if they think they're not in Oklahoma City or Tulsa, that they don't necessarily benefit in the same way.
Right, right. Now you said Corn Bible?
Corn Bible Academy, yeah, in okay. Corn, Oklahoma.
In Corn, Oklahoma, okay. Yes. Now where, help me understand where is that located? Because I know I've seen goodness.
Corn, I know, is west of Oklahoma City. I believe it is kind of as far as Weatherford, kind of area, and a little bit on the south side, if I remember correctly, of I-40. So that's where Corn is.
That's where Corn is. Okay. Yeah. Now I know, now I remember where I've seen it because I know I've seen it a long time ago. And so that was my next question I was going to lead up to about serving the areas in the rural areas, because, you know, do you feel like parents are hesitant at time if they live outside of the district or Oklahoma City County or Tulsa County? Do you feel like they're a little bit hesitant to apply, or is there more applicants usually for that area?
You know, I would offer to you that in terms of the assistance that I provide to share information and answer questions about the Henry Scholarship, I would say that the majority of parents and guardians that I work with are within or around, in and around the Oklahoma City community in Tulsa. Lots within those cores. But I do have a fair number of families that I work with that are rural, that, you know, I've worked with families I can think of who I've helped in Muskogee and I've helped in Enid. Maybe that's why they're so top of mind, in Enid and Ponca City as well, who I've worked with. So it is really, I think it's a great testament to this particular state law that there is opportunity that is available across the state of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And if I hear of a school, I just had this happen this week, even though it's only a Tuesday, where I had a parent contact me and they said, you know, we're really interested in a particular private school and it's not on the list. Like, what do we do about that? Like, where do we go from here? Right. And I always, of course, because I think it is vitally important that a school hears directly from the parent. So I'm like, please make sure you're communicating that you're looking at the Henry Scholarship and you are interested in attending their school and having their child benefit from an education using Henry at their institution. And then I always offered them, I said, and in turn, I will contact them as well, because, and I'll share with them and point them to the information about how a school goes through and what the process looks like for them to go through and make application to become a Henry serving school. And so that happened already this week. I've been on the phone with two private schools. One of which is rural, and has locations in Western Oklahoma. And then the other one I'm actually going to visit a little bit later this week. Every school that is on the approved list, a baseline requirement for those schools is that they all have to be accredited.
Right. Definitely.
And so, yeah, the school that I am talking to in Tulsa, they are in the process of their accreditation. And so they're not going to be able to make application yet. Oops. But as soon as they are and can, then I told them, I'm like, I'm happy to reach out, provide you again with either links to the paperwork to make application or whatever support that they need as well. So there's been a lot of schools that have, there's been probably upwards of 15 schools in the last year that have been added to the approved list. So it's important to make sure that as we add schools and as more schools, the State Department approves more schools, that obviously does exactly what one would hope if you're a parent, which is you have more options. You have more opportunity to look at alternatives that may be a better choice to serve your child and to give them the education that they deserve.
Okay. Well, that's really good. 12 more schools being added to the list. That's growing. Now, how long does it take for you or the board to approve a school when they're going through the application phase? Does it take the entire year, and do they have to go through a certain like a review of what their academics are? How long does it take for that school?
I think it would vary. And one thing I want to make real clear is the work that I do actually is grant funded. And so I am not with, I always try to make this very clear to the parents and guardians that I work with, that I'm not with the State Department of Education. And I point folks back to the State Department because usually I had a parent this morning who called and said, "Can you tell me what the status of my application is?" And I'm like, "No, I can't at all." Point them back to the State Department of Education. So I can share with you what my experience has been. As I know, a school has made application and they submitted their paperwork. Again, the folks at the State Department of Education reviewed that. And then our State Board of Education meets monthly. And so that application, then I know for the school visiting with that school leader, their school was on the agenda for consideration by the board members of the State Department of Education and our State Board of Education within that next month, like within 30 days when the next board meeting came. The board took action. They approved that school to serve Henry Scholars, and then families or anyone who's interested in taking advantage and applying for the Henry Scholarship, designating that school that was just approved, can immediately do that
Oh,
and designate that school.
so it's not a long time frame at all.
It depends, a school makes an application that's a couple pages, and then I know because I was looking at it today with the conversation I had about with the school leader, there are eight additional pieces of documentation that the school is required, like financial stability, policy pieces that the State Department is looking for data and information so that they can be fully informed in terms of, the health of the school and what they do and how they go about serving students. And so they evaluate all of those pieces as well. So I've done accreditation myself. It is not onerous as accreditation. That's a big, but it is, if in a school has to be accredited, as I said, if they have gone through accreditation, then they're going to typically have those pieces of information that are required by the State Department pretty much at hand. So it's pretty, I hate to say straightforward because I don't think anything much is anymore, but usually they'll have those pieces and be able to pull that together, I think, fairly quickly. But it really is dependent, how what the school, their priorities, their ability to have staff and personnel who can do that. So
Now, you mentioned earlier that IEPs are only for public schools. And so when you go to a private school, they don't necessarily have an IEP. So when you're, oh, do they call it something different, I should say?
Yes, ma'am, they
Okay.
do. They call it an ISP, an Individualized Service Plan. So
Oh, okay.
the ISP, this a private school can write something that is analogous to it, but it does not fall under federal law. But they do have something that is very much along the lines that has the same spirit to it that the IEP does, but it's not going to carry that full weight of the federal IDEA legislation, which is Individuals with Disabilities in Education Act, which is the one I mentioned that passed in the early 70s.
Okay.
That's the foundation for the IEP. So they do have something. Another important piece, because you reminded me, is an important piece of the Henry Scholarship. If you do have a student who does one of their eligibility areas requires that IEP, is that when a student accepts the Henry Scholarship, and if they do require special services or they have special needs that would have been available through the public school, that is a trough to taking the Henry and accepting the Henry Scholarship, is a student does forego those services that are available in the public school. That's very clearly stated on the application, and there's a lot of detail on the first page of the application that as a parent or guardian reads through that. But I always try to highlight that as well for parents and guardians so that they're aware that that is a trade-off. of the Henry Scholarship.
Okay. So with the ISP, is it still the same time frame as written every 3 years, or since it's
You know, my honest answer for that is I don't know.
okay.
I don't know how long an ISP is written by a private school. I really don't.
Okay.
So I'm not sure on
No.
that. That'd be a Lucia, that may be a Lucia question that I'd see. That would be one of those where I'll go, I don't know, but my friend Lucia, who I work with a lot, she probably knows the answer to this. She may, in which case I would make an introduction oftentimes by email, between the parent or guardian and Lucia. So
Okay.
yeah.
So there was another question. Oh, there it is. Okay, I was trying to remember what my question was. With it being a private school, the parent doesn't have to worry about districts, right? Do so if I let's say if I live in Oklahoma City and I want my child to go to a private school in Moore or Norman somewhere, is it okay? Or do they really look at you have to be within the area or within a district, I should say.
Yeah, no, private schools are going to be open. A big trade-off that you're going to have also is that transportation is not going to be offered. So you think about the complexity of our busing systems and how they may pick up children for a neighborhood. I'm calling brick and mortar schools because I think that that connotes very, but a busing system who would pick kids up and then transport them to that local neighborhood school. But otherwise, no, if you chose to, you know, have your kiddo, as you said, you know, you're in Oklahoma City and you wanted to, you said my best educational opportunity is going to be at a school in Norman. Maybe it's also, there's two Henry schools in Norman. All Saints Catholic School and then Terra Verde was just approved this past year. That would be up to you. If you want to get them there and you want to drive them that distance and that creates the best opportunity educationally for your kiddo, then that's your choice. So, no, it doesn't have to be if you're in OKCPS or you're in Putnam City or Moore District or whatever, where you don't have to stay at a private school within the, you know, district at all. Nope.
Okay.
You can get it done wherever you feel the best opportunity is. Yep.
Right. And wherever you want to drive, wherever you want to drive
Exactly.
to, I
Sure.
guess.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Transportation does make an issue at times, sometimes, I guess,
It sure
depending.
does. Yeah. And oftentimes, you know, I was I was president and CEO of a private high school, Catholic high school that opened here in Oklahoma City, and I helped to launch it. And we had parents who, you know, they would either we could help facilitate, but oftentimes, you know, parents do it themselves because they're very ingenious people when it comes to their kids, super resourceful. And we'd have parents who'd say, you know, hey, I'm going this way, and they'd figure out carpools and things as well. But for us, transportation was never a barrier to have kids come to the school.
Okay.
So that was a marvelous thing to see, because the school that I started was expressly to help students of limited means who otherwise couldn't afford a private school. So I don't want to get us too far off the Henry, but thinking about, which is actually a good point, I'd love to talk about if there are income requirements or any limitations about that. But anyway, with a private school that had a student population that we were specifically creating opportunity for, transportation wasn't a barrier for our families, which was great to see. I've always said that, you know, if you tell a mom that the best educational opportunity for her kiddo is on the moon, that she'll probably reply, well, we're going to have to get started a little earlier tomorrow morning then.
Right.
You know, parents do amazing things
to
for their kids.
get my child
Exactly. They do amazing things for their kids. And my hat's off to, you know, all those choices because they're not always easy. So there's a lot involved in.
So with income,
Yeah.
and since you mentioned that earlier, does income play a factor in applying for the scholarship, even if I meet one of the seven
It
requirements?
does not. It does not. State law there, this is expressly about helping. This state law, the Lindsay Nicole Henry Scholarship, is expressly about helping vulnerable Oklahoma children. It does not have a limitation. You don't have to be free reduced lunch. You don't have to be at or below the poverty level. It is about creating an opportunity, which is the most, you think about what our legislature did and what a remarkable opportunity for every child in Oklahoma if they qualify. And so no, there are no income requirements or limitations on that. Okay. There is a new page 3 of the application that does ask, they're doing some data collecting beginning this year, that asks if a family meets the poverty level, but that is not required in terms of assessing eligibility scholarship. So, and then similarly, the second question that they now have on the new page 3 of the Henry Scholarship application also asks about race and ethnicity. And again, there is no, it doesn't matter at all. It is open to every child. They're interested in collecting at the State Department. They're interested in collecting that information. So I think that they have some data and some more clear understanding about the recipients of the Henry Scholar. But again, neither of those two questions that are on page 3 have any bearing on determining the eligibility of a child to receive the Henry Scholarship.
To receive the scholarship. And so that leads to my other question, because if they just added those two questions within this past year or so. So you really didn't have, well, I shouldn't say you didn't have, but did you have an outlook of how like a certain culture or race of children are being awarded this scholarship, or was that not really?
You know, I don't know that it has a lot of bearing, but I do know that the State Department does publish some demographic data on the students. They have some historical data, and I would say the overwhelming, I think, in other words, more than 50% of the students, hopefully I'm not misspeaking, but over 50% of the students are white, identified as white. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I really hope that this information gets out. I'm going to share it as many times as I can. And you did mention your website earlier. So can you say that website one more time?
Absolutely. Happy to. So Lindsay Nicole Henry is often referred to, you may hear people call it LNH, for Lindsay Nicole Henry. So our website is lnhhelp.org, lnhhelp.org. And my contact information is on there. We also have a Facebook page where we're regularly posting about deadlines and encouraging people to apply. And again, that I am a free resource to help to answer questions to, you know, if I work with a family or they contact and they say, you know, hey, my kiddo is on, you know, has a current IEP, and we've attended a public school, I will then reply, and I can send every family a customized email that provides them with the links to apply to the application, to the forms that they need to fill out, and then also the specific documentation that's required to make a complete application, depending on their eligibility area. Because some like a student who applies under the IEP, they need to provide the IEP. They need to provide another document called a MEEGS, which relates to the IEP. And then importantly, every Henry Scholar application requires a letter of admission from one of those approved private schools that we talked about earlier. So that's a requirement. So the State Department knows, yes, your child has been accepted to the school that you're designating on your application. So school knows kiddo would be coming, State Department knows as well. So that would be great. Can I add one more thing we didn't talk about? Perhaps the most popular question that I get, which is value of the Henry Scholarship.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, I get this question all the time, and it's the most difficult one to answer. Because every child, the state law says that all the scholarships are calculated up to the State Department of Education. They have a worksheet that they go through. state law articulates that a student scholarship is going to be one of two things, or of one or two things. It's either state or local funding where that child lives, and what that looks like, or the tuition and fees at the private school that has been designated on the application. So it's always hard to say. And of course, if a student has an IEP, which I mentioned, four of the seven eligibility categories require an IEP, that student's scholarship amount is calculated and factors into the calculations the grade of the student, as well as there are weights to any and all of the disabilities that are listed on that child's IEP and accompanying Meeks paperwork. So all of those are factored in when calculating the scholarship. That's what the folks at the State Department of Education do. So a child applying with an IEP, because of those multipliers around grade and disability weights, is always going to have a higher scholarship than the eligibility areas that don't. But on average, historically, for students who've received the Henry Scholarship, the total divided by the number of students who've had it, it averages right around $7,000. But of course, you know, please, if you're listening, know that scholarships amounts vary greatly. And again, if an IEP has a lot of things listed in there as disabilities and special needs, that scholarship amount is going to be higher, and it'll be greater than a student who does not require the IEP. And the eligibility areas, real quick, that don't require the IEP to make to be eligible for to apply for Henry, are going to be our foster care categories. That's so a child adopted out of foster care, a kiddo who's in or was in an out-of-home placement with foster care, or Office of Juvenile Affairs out-of-home placements as well. Those have no requirement in state law that the child also has an IEP. So those are the three that don't, and then the rest do require the IEP.
Okay, so that's, because that's what I was going to ask. I was like, well, does that necessarily mean, you know, what if you have a child that's in foster care, but they don't have an IEP? So will they still be able to go to, they would still be able to qualify and get the scholarship, but the value of the scholarship would be different, is what you're saying, right?
It will be. Actually, every child's scholarship is going to be different, because again, when they bounce it off state and local funding where the kiddo lives, or tuition and fees at the private school, goodness, those, you know, every school's different in terms of those levels, and districts are different. You know, one child may have one disability identified on their IEP formally, and then another one, you know, a child, I've talked to parents who they've got five and six things listed on there. And so they'll just, like we all know, every kiddo's different, right? Every child has different needs and, you know, different approaches to their learning. And this is really what, as well, I think this demonstrates this is about, is identifying where the best place for that child to learn and to thrive. And as I've said before, to receive the education that they deserve to receive.
Right. Okay. I like that. Thank you for explaining about the, knocking things over, about the value of the scholarship, because that is important to understand, because that may hinder certain parents of picking a certain school if it costs, you know, X amount of money and they feel like they won't be able to afford it or qualify for that scholarship. So that's a good way of breaking that down. There was one other question that came to mind, because I know you mentioned earlier that the deadline is December 1st, but you encourage them to apply during the summer. Now, when they apply during the summer, of course, school is not in and school hasn't started. So we're going based off of their IEP from the previous year if they need one, right? Are we?
Their current IEP, yeah. Okay. So if a child already has the IEP. Okay. There's a provision actually in federal law also around, I'm speaking to the IEP piece, there's a provision actually in federal law, because if a child hasn't attended a public school, that there is a provision in federal law that is called child find, that still requires, there's a federal requirement for that district in those schools to identify children who live within their district boundaries who have special needs and disabilities, and for the school to evaluate those children as well to see if they qualify for an IEP as well. So those are, as I said, I keep referring to Lucia, my right. that I work with so closely, and that would be a perfect case where if I had a family who said, you know, we don't have the IEP yet, we've talked to our physician, we've talked to a counselor or somebody else in their child, who's close to that child, has identified something about that child where they've notified parent or guardian and said, you know, hey, we think you should really look into this. Those would be as well opportunities where it would help the school as well to know more about what others are seeing in that child and then open that up to make that formal request. But again, mm-hmm. that's when I lean on my my partner there, Lucia, to help with all of that. And again, she's with Every Kid Counts Oklahoma. So Lucia Froling with Every Kid Counts. Can I mention one other thing? Because when you mentioned about, you know, certainly tuition at some private schools, and it's, you know, you might not know exactly at the time how much your Henry Scholarship is going to be worth. There is a completely separate state law in Oklahoma that is called the Equal Opportunity Scholarship Fund. And I'll speak to this fairly quickly. Not my area of expert, but I do work with families and also make referral to some other organizations. This state law allows, let's say I'm a private donor and I could make a gift to a scholar, it's called a scholarship granting organization that partners with schools, and a private donor can make a gift, financial gift, that organization, and they can either designate a private school, but these are funds, private funds that are donated that help to support a qualifying student to attend a private school. So they're helping financially. This private donor can make a gift. Importantly for the donor, they can receive a tax credit. So more than a deduction, they can actually receive a tax credit and get the benefit of that credit off of any taxes that they end up owing. And this is a state of Oklahoma tax credit only. But they can benefit. And so schools are raising these funds. They're seeking these funds from donors who, again, wow. get the benefit of the tax credit to help a student who, and there is an income qualification for this one, and there is also some other qualifications, and I'm not as well versed on those, but it's called the Equal Opportunity Tax Credit Scholarship. If you're interested in attending a Catholic school anywhere across the state of Oklahoma, the Archdiocese has their own scholarship granting organization, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City. They manage and raise okay. funds for the benefit of students who meet the qualifications and are attending and need some additional financial support to attend one of their schools. Same with the Diocese of Tulsa. And then there's another organization that partners with schools, they're one of the biggest that partners with schools that are, I will say, non-Catholic because and private, faith-based or not, because the Catholic Church has, the Catholic diocese and archdiocese have set up their own, but they're working with schools, and that one is called osfkids.org, or Opportunity Scholarship Fund Kids, osfkids.org, and they have, it says schools, if you drop yeah. down, OSF, yeah, okay. Opportunity stands for Opportunity Scholarship Fund, but OFKids.org. They have member schools that they work with who, again, they're, those schools are raising funds, and then that OSF organization helps to facilitate the payment of checks and meeting all of the reporting requirements with the Oklahoma Tax Commission, so donors get the benefit of their gifts that they're making. But that as well, when you start talking about private school tuition, mm-hmm. if the Henry Scholarship, and this doesn't matter whether or not you have the Henry Scholarship, OSF and this tax credit legislation is available to anybody, whether it has, it's completely independent of Henry. But parents and guardians can benefit from that as well.
So question, because you said it's mm-hmm. independent from Henry. So does that mean the qualifications are different? You don't have to, I know you said income-based, but it's not based on those seven qualifications.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So when you think Henry, think seven eligibility areas, and that's one state law. Completely independent is the Opportunity Scholarship Fund. And then those websites, I know OSF Kids specifically because I was on there earlier today, not only lists all of member schools sorted by where they're located city, but also has some very nice frequently asked questions of what the eligibility is. And then, reach out to them as well because there's financial assistance that can be there. Also, state law in Oklahoma. So, yeah. A lot of
Okay.
people, this is what the benefit is, and why I'm so delighted to be here with you is to share information about this because families don't know. And my gosh, we have over 100,000 kids in Oklahoma who are on IEPs, who have IEPs, who will
Right.
qualify for this or should. And as well, know that a public school also includes charter schools. Charter schools are public schools, that's why they're free to attend.
Okay.
And as well, are online schools like Epic. I get asked that question. It's like, oh no, I guess we don't go to a public school. We do Epic. I'm like, Epic is a charter school. It's a public school. So even if you
It's a
get
public
online
school,
with
yeah.
all of, yeah, with all of our COVID and so many families were making such tough decisions immediately about how best to continue their child's educational pathway. And they moved to online opportunities. And so, but again, it needs to be for that area. The originally passed area of eligibility around Henry is having had attended a public school the year prior to making an application. So.
Okay. Well, that is a lot of information. I'm going to make sure I put these other scholarships in my description there, so that way they'll be able to follow up and go and get this useful information. So I think it's important for us to know that there are resources out there. And of course, with our governor, he's always mentioned about education and how we are not in the top at all. And so I really think that this is important for us to let the community know about resources that are out there, that things happen over, like back in 2010, that they may have forgotten about, that they can definitely utilize for their children. I think that's really important, especially going to a private school, because I know that some people feel like private school, you feel a little intimidated, but I really feel that when you're able to receive the resources to help you, it definitely makes the education worthwhile. And usually in private schools, you're in a smaller setting sometimes. It does help overall.
Very, very, very often those class sizes are smaller, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I always, every email that I send ends with, please share news of the Henry Scholarship. So if you're on this, the work that I do is an outreach, opportunity to share information like this about what this is. But I always ask, anybody that I'm visiting with and sharing information to think about who you know. Who have you had a conversation with, whether it's at work, whether it may be at church? Is it a neighbor? Is it a family member? Someone else who's out there that you say, you know what? I think their kiddo has an IEP. Or, oh my gosh, I know somebody who adopted out of foster care, that they're eligible for this and their child can benefit from it. So, please, if you'll put on your, think about it and dig deep and share information. Because again, this is an opportunity for our kids in Oklahoma, and our parents and guardians. So I'm thrilled to share information and ask that you'll do the same.
Okay, definitely will do. Now, another question just popped to my head. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
But when you said adopted out of foster care, so if I have adopted a child and the child was in foster care, they will still be able to qualify because they're adopted in their mind. But does it matter how long ago I adopted them? That shouldn't
Nope.
matter.
There's nothing in state law that says, you know, if a child was adopted, you know, it has to be within the last X number of years or months or anything. No, it's completely open. A point of clarification is the law is expressed to say today that the child be adopted out of DHS or state for foster care. It does not speak to international adoptions, private adoptions, adoptions as well, which we know, of course, you know, parents are, you know, guardians are taking kids in. And it also doesn't speak to like a kinship placement. That is not included. And we know, you know, thank goodness we have so many families that step in to help a child who, you know, definitely needs the kind of family support and to keep a child connected to their family. But today, state law nothing's been passed to include any of those other categories or to provide clarity around the other adoption areas, but also to include kinship placements as well. So just, you know, have that information as well. So right now it says DHS custody and out of foster care.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that is useful information to know. One last time, what's your website and they can find you on social media? Share that one more time because I don't want to mess it up.
Sure. No worries. So our website is lnhhelp.org, and our Facebook page is going to be Lindsay Nicole Henry Scholarships. It's at Henry Scholarships, plural. If you type that into Facebook, that at, and again, you can DM me through that. I answer at all hours. Any of the messages that I receive, I always feel like if a parent is reaching out, even if it's late into the evening, that they're seeking an answer, and the sooner, better, and some clarity around this. And if I can lean in and support, I'm happy to do that. And so I try to answer them when they come in as quickly as they can. So happy to do that. And then our telephone number is also on there. My email address is on there, renee@lnhhelp.org. So whatever works and however somebody chooses to connect, please do. Again, happy to answer questions. Happy to help you work through a particular scenario to say, does my child qualify or not? And if I don't know and I think it's gray, then I'm going to obviously ship you over to the folks and the contact information for the folks at the State Department of Education who do a magnificent and amazing job managing this program on behalf of the state of Oklahoma. So what a benefit.
Right. Definitely. Definitely. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Renee. This has been a lot of information. Whoever is listening to the replay of this podcast, I hope that you save it for later because this is something that you will definitely need to use and refer back to. So that way, when you run into your family, friends, or whomever, you can say, hey, I heard about this scholarship and I think it would definitely benefit your child. So I do appreciate you taking the time to come on Share the Tea Tuesdays and educate us about the Henry Scholarship. I've learned quite a bit of information, and so I will try my best not to keep you on speed dial. So in case I have some questions or send some parents your way just as a referral, that would definitely be a great resource for them to have. Now, I do want to say, make sure that you go and follow her the Henry Scholarship on Facebook. I will put the information within the description again, just in case if you missed it, if you're driving or listening and doing other things, that's perfectly fine. But I do want to take the time to thank my followers for following Share the Tea with V, and then also following Share the Tea Tuesdays. And we will definitely be back next week with some more great topics. Remember to be intentional, be insightful, and definitely be impactful in everything that you do. And Miss Renee, thank you again. And you know I'll be in touch. So don't.
Oh, please do. That's why I'm here. Please do. Please do. Okay. Yes.
Okay. You don't try to block my number in case I bother you too much. Okay. That's a plus.
Never.
Well, thank you so much. And stay tuned for next week, you guys, with Shreddity Tuesdays. Thank you. Have a good night.